There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Should we put headphones in?
If you want it. I want a headphones.
I want a headphones.
Where are my headphones? They're not in here.
Just keep looking, Henry.
You got to be able to find these headphones.
Just Henry, I'm not going to tell
the
you
cord,
where they are.
Henry.
No, those are the wrong ones.
What do you mean?
The ones that are right
near me.
Oh, there are ones right in front of your face. They're right there. They're 6 inches away from you. All right. Welcome to the
I'm
show.
I'm not a fucking detective. I'm a podcast comedian.
All right. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. With us as always.
Detective Henry Zabrowski.
I thought you weren't a detective.
If there's a thing to find, I can find it.
What?
You tell me to find something, especially if it's directly in front of my face. I'm going to find the living shit out of it.
You couldn't find the headphones.
Oh, no, no. It's because I wasn't getting paid to find it.
All right.
Give me a check to find something, I'll find it, even if it's inside you. And I'm talking to you, ladies.
Oh, God, I don't think... I have a feeling they might not be paying you for that.
Let me find what's inside you, ladies. I think it's hymen.
Very nice. Detective Henry Zabrowski. Well, speaking of disgusting things and creepy scenarios, today we're going to be doing a little segment called...
Scenarios.
We're doing a little program called D-Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Yeah, D-List Celebrity Hauntings.
Oh, and by the way, guys, happy 50th episode.
Oh, is this it? Two farts for your 50th episode.
Yeah. My nice. Grandfather just got two bullets in the back of his head.
Why?
That's not true. It's...
No. Okay.
Detective Henry Zabrowski, solving crimes and finding things.
Yeah, so we're gonna be interviewing a bunch of our good D-list celebrity friends, and we're going to hear some of their tales, and we're going to allow them to speak uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted.
Uninterrupting Henry Zabrowski.
I don't interrupt.
Nope.
I'm just going to keep doing this.
No, you're not.
I'm going to make it. Yeah. I'm going to ruin this podcast.
Good. I like it. So, yeah, do we want to talk about this is obviously based off the that show on Bio where they're like celebrity ghost stories or whatever when, you know, it's all like washed up soap stars from the 90s. But we got some real legitimate people coming in to talk to you guys today.
Absolutely, because people I know are craving more knowledge about the stars of Cave Comedy Radio. And
yes.
This is some of the people that you get to see more of their inner world, their ghost world.
That's right.
I have no haunting stories. This is why I'm bringing people in. It's because it's like I never seen a ghost. Ghosts won't appear to me. Apparently, I'm not sensitive.
Nope.
I'm just like, what do you mean?
But detectives have to be very sensitive to the surroundings around them, Henry.
Oh, no. I just bash my way through mysteries. Kick open doors and push women down. I find things.
Interesting.
That's what I do.
I like it. The closest thing that I have to a haunting is that there's a Ouija board that I'm staring at right now. And we used to play with one when I was in high school. And we had a gal named Deb Deb. Mm-hmm. And she would make the cat go crazy. And she nearly killed my friend Josh Cons. He was putting chips all over the Ouija board. I think he dabbed his balls on it at one point.
We're going to have a Ouija board story here as well soon.
Fantastic. I truly believe in the Ouija board. And he was driving home one night, and a whole bunch of different things started happening with his car. Cars coming towards him started turning off their headlights, and deer running all around. Anyway, he was very, very terrified. But overall, and my friend Crazy Christian Pete, he saw a ghost in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and he was so convinced that it was a ghost that he became an evangelical Christian.
Which doesn't mean anything. That's not a reason.
We
that's
talk
fine.
About it a little bit at the end of Edward's story. Yeah.
Now, and mine was when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I saw a green goblin. Not the Marvel villain, the Spider-Man villain. But
who's
he was
throwing pumpkins through my windows.
Call J. Jonah Jameson. This is a story.
Yes.
Now, I was staying at my cousin's house in Lubbock, Texas. It was late at night. I woke up and I looked outside of his suburban neighborhood, and I saw on the street in this little cul-de-sac a large green pig demon. It was more of a blob, but it had like a pig's head, but it also looked like kind of ogre-ish. So it was like a pig goblin.
Do you think that
or a goblin pig, if you will.
A random Texan man fucked a pig and they had a baby, and then the baby escaped the basement. And
kill me. Kill me.
Kill me. Kill me.
It was glowing. It was glowing as well.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it had a little horn.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Yes.
I believe it.
I was not asleep. I was not asleep. It was not a dream.
I never said that you were asleep or that it was a dream.
I tried waking up my cousin. He wouldn't wake up.
Is he
was
dead?
Under the goblin spell.
Oh, interesting.
The one thing, the creepy thing that I did discover was I was a part of a group of friends, and I make internal noises when I talk.
I just don't know. It just started happening.
Yeah, today, really. It's
no, it's been the past 2 weeks.
It's a sausage cheese biscuit that's floating
okay,
around.
Okay, this is one thing. So we meet around 11 o'clock in the morning to record, and Henrik comes downstairs jolly as an apple. And you can imagine if an apple had a personality, they'd be very, very happy. And I said,
hey,
what's,
guys.
Hey, everybody. What's happening, Henrik? And then Henrik says, oh, got a bacon, a sausage and cheddar muffin right here. And then he took a bite.
Is that what I sound like to you?
Really did. And, man, I've never seen a human being be more of, like, the living interpretation of the statement, pig and shit. You were just a pig in the dookiest shit. You were loving your life.
The sausage muffin should have been hot.
Yeah. Right, so he was a little bit unhappy.
Yeah, because it was just kind of like a slimy ball of sausage fat all mixed into cupcake mix.
Yeah.
So that was... sometimes Sweet Leaf hits it out of the park, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Sweet, great coffee shop. Right
great
next
coffee
door
shop.
Here.
Yeah. But they, me and a group of my friends in elementary school into middle school used to do this thing called Monster Club that we were all, because that, like super morbid little children, we used to dress all in black. And like I had the whole, like what was it, the Mysteries and Ancient Mysteries, the book series? The Mysteries, Magic, and...
Mystery, Magic. Oh, Myth, Magic, and...
I had that whole set.
Yeah.
And we used to sit
Man, Myth,
and
Magic.
Man, Myth, and Magic. And yeah. We used to sit and read those and, like, talk about stuff. And the only thing that... I had two scary things that happened. And one was... I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, where there is... When I was growing up in Queens, in Woodhaven, there was a giant... it was a very white neighborhood for a long time because it was owned by the mob. And that was, like, a thing. So it's, like... And they're racist. And black people wouldn't live there. And then they left because, basically, when Gotti died, the whole temperature of the room changed, you know? Mm-hmm. And he... at the time, there was... influx of Haitian like population right. That moved in the neighborhood and they brought with them their religion, so like a part of that was like there I talked a little bit
no you did talk I remember
yes. But we went and we discovered, me and a friend of mine, because there was all these being or the arrests being made about like animal cruelty and stuff like that because they sacrifice animals in their church practices, and we walked out in the middle of Forest Park in Queens and found a big log circle stained with blood. Everything was stained with blood. That was
cool.
A crime scene. That was like a voodoo practicing area. And another thing we did is we made our own Ouija board out of a sheet of loose leaf paper because we were really into magic and stuff like that. And we would like do spells and stuff like that, but nothing ever worked. And
it just must have been so difficult for you growing up to fight off all the pussy.
That's the
you
thing.
You know, because every girl wanted
we
to blow you.
No, we had girls in the group though.
Okay.
The girl I was desperately in love with. And then I gave her a secret admirer note. Right?
Oh, no.
On Valentine's Day, and she met me at a place, and I wore a beret and this, like, jacket, this, like, smoking jacket that I had gotten, and I was, like, 13.
Just sad, because if we had her in, that would be her ghost story.
I used to wear a beret a lot.
Uh-huh.
I went through a period where I was wearing berets. Oh.
Well, we won't talk about it again. No, that's fine. I'll just forget about that part.
I went through a period where I wore top hats all the time. It's okay.
It's okay. We all did dumb gay things.
Yeah, it was junior high.
Yeah, sure. I was looking for an identity. I was trying to be dramatic.
Yeah, me too. I just like top hats.
Yeah, they're
great.
Yeah,
I had a big purple beret.
I had a big green top hat.
I had a character I played called the Flying Grape.
It was the 90s.
My friends. That's true. That is true. I used to play this character. I used to have a purple hoodie. I used to put it on my head and go like, I'm the Flying Grape. And they would laugh and laugh. I was popular.
I'm sure it was very,
there was
very
a period
funny.
Of time where I was innocent and pure.
I mean, you're nothing but innocent and pure now.
So, we did this Ouija board, and we created this circle, and we put out the Ouija board, and we were asking it questions, and then the Ouija board set on fire. That's what I remember, is that the Ouija board caught on fire, and
nice.
we threw it out, but... someone probably just set it on fire.
It's possible. I mean, that's the thing. I'm so confused because going back to the Ouija board, we were playing it at my friend Aaron Sane's house, and we were like, change the DVD player around. We had all the remote controls on the table, and then the DVD tracks just started like skipping randomly. Maybe somebody hit it on shuffle. Perhaps, it was very, very possible. But at the time, it was so unbelievably terrifying.
Tiptoe through the window.
Constantly. And we're like, isn't this Pantera? Isn't this supposed to be the fucking new Sepultura album? And we burnt that Ouija board.
The only time I ever tried doing a Ouija board when I was a kid is I was at my friend Julie's house. And it was like there was three of us, me and Julie and Ginger. And we were all trying to play the Ouija board, and in the middle of it, like, we were asking it questions, and it started moving, and Ginger screamed at the top of her lungs and ran out of the room and wouldn't come back inside.
Nice. And that's how you got Julie alone.
Yeah.
Then I pushed it down, and I worked the skirt up 2 weeks.
That was it. That was, boy, that was 15 years of unrequited love.
All right. Well, the stories that we have in from our D celebrities are going to be much better than the three that we've shared with you today. So let's just kick it over to some of them now.
Hi, my name is Ashley Brooke Roberts. You might know me from a bar show in Brooklyn called Everyday Dirt that I ran at a place that was closed down because of cocaine. I'm here today to tell you a couple of stories. The first one is a paranormal experience that I had with my best friend in the woods a couple of years ago. It was the winter solstice, and we were planning a sort of witchy celebration to ring in the new year. We put together a bunch of candles and rocks, some like herbs, pot, and sage and things to burn in our ceremony. We had planned it for like a week to just really set the stage for a good year ahead of us. We got some oil lamps. We went into the woods around midnight. This is in North Carolina. It's on her family's old farm. So it's about 200 acres of woodland. And it was winter, so all the leaves were, you know, off the trees. We walked for maybe a mile and a half. We found a good spot in an old riverbed, and we set up shop. We walked out our circle. We put stones around it. We sort of cleansed the circle by burning sage. We said a couple of words. And then we got down to really we put out like a little shrine of like our favorite objects, like a turtle shell and a fox skull and some feathers. And we sat down to have our ceremony, which involved getting high. We smoked some pot just to like break down that fourth wall, fifth wall, sixth wall, break down a lot of walls. So we're trying to break down some walls. And it worked because it had been very clear to me when we were in the woods. It was just like the two of us, and we were talking and we were chatting. And then once we sat down and got high, there was this feeling I've never experienced before, which is prior to that, it felt like we were alone in the woods. And then when we got high, it felt like we were at a humongous party that we hadn't realized, and we had just been walking through this party and no one was paying attention to us because we couldn't see them. And then all of a sudden we could see them, and it seemed like everything turned and looked at us like, oh, you see us now? And it felt very much like we weren't alone. And then Sarah started saying some words to start, like, you know, this is our intentions, this is the purpose. And she ended by saying, we now invite the spirit of the woods into our circle. And as soon as she did that, we heard a howling, you know, far off. And I said, Sarah, what was that? And she said, that was a coyote. And as soon as she said that was a coyote, we heard it about 5 feet away from us howl again. And we heard the leaves around us move, and we both jumped up and grabbed all of our stuff and started running, and we heard continuous coyote howling as we ran back the mile and a half to her house. The timing of that whole thing was like terrifying, goosebump inducing, just because it was literally so off in the distance in the first howl, and the second howl was right next to us. And then there were no coyotes heard on her land again for a long, long time. And then the other thing that I have is there is a barn on my family's land that has a lot of history. It's been there for about 200 years, and it's always been a little creepy, but it got super weird, and a lot of stories about this barn came out after my great-great-uncle hung himself in the barn after the Civil War. And soon after that, like, then 10 years after that, two different times a goat was spotted in the barn, in the middle of the barn, sort of under where he had hung himself. And we don't have goats. We've never had goats. None of the farms around us have goats. And goats are symbols for Satan, so it, like, really freaked out my family. The first time it was spotted was by a kid who ran back and was like, there's a goat in the barn, which is weird. And then all the adults ran there, and there was no goat. The kid was playing hide-and-seek and ran around the side and ran, like, face-to-face to the goat that was just standing in the middle of the barn. And then an adult saw a goat 10 years later in the same spot. Also, there's, like, an old dead oak tree next to that barn that had been there for as long as anyone could remember. And when my 9-month pregnant mother was getting out of a car with a bunch of people and walking to the old house, which is, like, next to the barn on top of a hill, a giant swarm of bees came out of the oak tree and chased my pregnant mother, and no one else in the group, just my 9-month pregnant mother, into the house. It wasn't even like she was near the tree or walking by the tree. It was like came out and ran after her. And there's been like a lot of reports of moaning coming from the barn, like never screaming, but people have heard someone moaning, like they thought it was someone was hurt in the barn or something like that. And when I was in high school, I really wanted to spend the night in the barn and record sounds. And everyone in my family was like, absolutely not. There's no way that we're going to let you spend the night in there. So that's that. Those are my stories.
Okay. Ah, yes, very good, very good. Terrifying.
Very,
terrifying.
Very funny. Very funny story.
It was. Well, this is great. So you were out in the woods. I don't know. How was the weed? Do you think it was mainly the weed?
Yeah. Do you think there was a lot of the weed involved?
Well, the thing is that we do this. It was a regular thing. Like, it's happened many, many times that we go out in the woods and get stoned. Because,
you know,
Alice, never been that creepy.
Aleister Crowley says that weed blocks magical impulses.
Oh, really?
That's his, like, problem. He
well,
has a problem
wrong.
With drugs.
Yeah, he's Fuck wrong about a lot of stuff. But don't tell him that to his face.
My guard cut my nose.
Oh, did it?
Oh.
Henry just got injured while doing a podcast. If you wanted to know how out of shape
it's
Henry Zabrowski is.
It's ghost.
So that's very exciting. So how long were you in the woods doing your seance before the coyotes nearly ate you?
I would say a good 30, 40 minutes.
Okay, and this was like the fourth or fifth time you and your friend have gone out to the woods to summon the devil?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I would say way more than that. Like, okay. We've been doing it pretty regularly since high school.
And was this one of the first times that you ever actually sort of experienced something that you felt was paranormal?
Like, actually real?
We've experienced other things that were always positive. This was the first thing that was not positive. And it was a couple of things. One is that she, you know, she did say, like, we invite the spirit of the woods into this circle, which has never been done before.
You're very lucky Ted Nugent didn't just come swinging down with a squirrel tail and a flaming arrow.
Fever!
God damn it.
Because you have a circle to protect you, so you never invite stuff into it.
Okay.
So she invited stuff into it. And there is,
Did you see things when you say that, or you just felt like the presence of that you were like in some party that you were invited to? Which also reminds me of Mr. Norrell and what's the new
Mr. Norrell and Jonathan Strange?
Yes, yeah. Reminds me of the party they all go to in the fairyland.
I didn't see anything, but it did feel like all of a sudden it was like boom, we're not alone at all.
Yeah,
you know, you're just like with someone, you're talking to them, you're very much wrapped up in that connection, and then this felt like, oh, there's like 80 million things around us, and they all see us, but we're just not paying attention to them.
Yeah. Now, does a coyote have anything else to do with like anything with your family, or like is there stories of coyotes? Like any other time, like does it, like is it a symbol to you?
It's not a symbol to me, but there is a graveyard on her family land, and it turned out we were sort of near the graveyard.
Ooh, cool!
So we hadn't known that because we were walking in the dark. You know, we didn't really know where we were going.
Just stone wandering. Because I also imagine you and her like branches in your hair, like walking out, just like, I just like, you remember the last time we went and we did the witch ceremony and nothing happened? It's like, you know, it's always, I hope you find some berries. I do too. You remember that time we found a pumpkin? I do.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I mean, that
sounds very innocent and sweet.
No, it is. It sounds like it's very nice and good.
That's basically what it is. Yeah, and we talk about like what we want and like, you know, how we feel about the year and stuff. So it's always been good, but I don't know if coyotes have anything to do with her. I should
look up if like coyotes in like ghost lore or something like that. I wonder.
Usually the coyote is usually in Native American lore is usually some sort of god.
Can you tell us?
And isn't it also like a guide too to like the spirit
it can be
world?
It can be a guide to the spirit world. It can be a trickster god.
Marcus,
can
we
helpful.
Ask you that
it
question?
Be a lot of different
could you
things.
Answer in Native American voice?
The coyote is mostly a trickster god in many Native American cultures.
Interesting.
That does sound real.
Anything sounds real now.
Some say that the great coyote pissed out the world and created all of us.
Ew. So I'm coyote piss?
Yes.
Sort of.
All right. That explains the smell.
It's the glue that bonds.
A coyote is my spirit animal.
There oh, really?
Yeah,
he was
cool.
Marcus.
Yeah.
I just
desperately trying to sleep with the young version of you.
College was a strange time for me. I traveled around a lot.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm happy you survived the New York coyote demon attack.
Thanks,
man. And the ghost story just reminds me of Holden in a ghost mask wandering through the barn going like, yeah!
Well, I did enjoy the barn ghost story indeed. Mm-hmm. So your uncle was in the Civil War. Was he Union or Confederate?
What do you think?
I just want to get the answer. I'm just getting answers here. You never know. He might have traveled up north.
It wasn't my uncle. It was my great-great-great-uncle. You know, so we know.
She's not a 70-year-old woman.
That's fine. Why am I? What am I getting yelled at for? I didn't fucking hold slaves like your family did. But no, I think that's really interesting. Then you had a goat that appears right underneath where he hung himself. That was what was really creepy to me.
Baphomet.
Yeah, it's very, very possible. And if he was a Confederate soldier, it is possible that he was in hell. So, I mean, that's kind of fascinating.
Again, it just sounds like that whole area, everything that was touched by the Civil War is always, like, drenched with ghosts.
Yeah.
Because it was a bad one.
It's what
Afghanistan's going to be like real soon.
Oh, yeah.
You imagine how haunted the deserts of Afghanistan are?
But
ghosts is exploding.
They're so hot. They're so hot all the time, and no one's around. Oh, what? There is no sadder existence than just being a lonely ghost in the desert of Afghanistan.
Except being an open mic comedian in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that would be the other worst one.
Open mic comedian in Cleveland.
But thank you so much for scaring us with your tales.
Yeah, no problem.
I really enjoyed it.
I did.
All right, that's Ashley Brooke Roberts, everybody.
You're going to make my chair smell so nice.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm sitting in Henry's chair.
That
is so gross, Henry. Are you going to sniff the chair? Do you sniff most chairs?
Are you a seat sniffer?
No, no.
Are you a closet seat sniffer?
No.
Oh, my God.
I like to get to know people.
Like a dog.
Hello, my name is Ed Larson. You might know me from the Round Table of Gentlemen. And I had a small spot on this Nintendo 3DS show. I was Balthazar. It's called 3Dits. It could be also known as 3DS, 3Dits, 3Idiots. Seven people downloaded it onto their Nintendo 3DS.
Seven?
I think 107. All right, so anyway, I got a couple weird little ghost stories. whenever I tell him, I always preface it, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's real, but the shit was weird and it happened to me. So the first one is I was walking out of my bedroom with my buddy Corey. He was sleeping over. We were like 12 or 11. And we walk out of my bedroom and I look down this long hallway. And there's a man sitting in my father's chair. And it was like a weird blue outline of a dude. And we were just like, I was like, hey, Dad. No answer. And then Corey's like, hey, Mr. Jerry, what's going on? Just no answer. And then as we walked closer, the figure disappeared. And then we just went into the other room and went to sleep. And then, well, I was scared. You know, what am I going to do? You know, so that's that story. And then that same house, it was a brand new house. It was a brand new development. We were all the first people to live in that development. But a lot of people who lived in that development always complained about ghosts and abnormal things happening to them in their homes. I used to always, you know, lots of doors shutting. It's a brand new house. No windows are open, you know, so there's no reason for doors to be shutting and closets opening and stuff like that. And I would always misplace things for weeks on end, and then all of a sudden they'd be sitting on top of my television or right on top of my desk. I could be a moron, but, you know, this is all stuff that that really freaked me out. One time I was talking to my buddy on the phone, and all of a sudden the front doors just started shaking violently. And then I went and I was like, yo, you here? You fucking with me right now? And he's just like, no. And I was like, open the front doors, nothing there. I was like, all right, okay. And then I was like, I shut the doors, and immediately they just started shaking violently again. And then I looked out the door, and there was no one there. I was like, yo, bro, something fucking weird's going on. And I was like, I'll call you back. And I hang up the phone, and then I look outside, and there's the sliding glass doors. They start shaking, and there's no one on the other side, but they just start shaking violently and freaking me the fuck out. So that's everything that really happened in that house. But the other real scary stuff, when I grew up at St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church, there was a graveyard behind our school. And so basically, anytime you looked out the classroom window, you were looking into a graveyard. We used to sit there and like stare at funerals and stuff during our like spelling class. And it was very confusing for all of us. But one day after Boy Scouts, one night we were driving home. And the same kind of thing, a blue shadowy figure was standing in the middle of the road. And me and my mom, my dad, we were driving. And me and my mom were just like, stop, stop. There's someone in the road. There's someone in the road. Stop the car. Stop the car. And my father drove through the person. And then me and my mom just started screaming out of our minds. My dad didn't see anything. And we're just screaming out of our minds. Like, you just hit somebody with the car. We stop the car. We get out and look. And, like, there's no one there, and it's nuts. And then we get back into the car, and then all of a sudden the locks on the car just start going up and down like fucking crazy. And then we just went home. Fast forward, I don't tell anyone this fucking story. Fast forward, I'm 16 years old. I'm driving with Tim Dean, our buddy Tim Dean. And we're driving right past that same cemetery. And then he's just like, Eddie, watch out. There's someone in the road. And I was like, what? I didn't see nothing. And then I drove by, and he was like, dude, there was like a fucking dude. It was like a shadowy blue like dude in the road. I never told him the fucking story. And then he was same exact block, same graveyard. And so that was fucking, that freaked me the fuck out.
That's insane.
That is absolutely insane.
That is a great story. Great. I think there's certain people who are attracted to ghosts, like our friend Natalie, our beautiful friend Natalie, mm-hmm. who she has always experienced ghost activity, and you're just a person who just always sees it.
So yeah. This happened in two different houses or three?
That is, one of them's all that happened in one house.
Okay.
And then the other thing happened outside of the same graveyard.
That's so amazing. Have you experienced any hauntings other than in that house?
Yeah. There's one other thing. My whole family is very obsessed with ghosts and feels
and
like,
very connected. Your mom's like that. Yeah.
My mom and my aunt.
My mom too.
Yeah. And in my aunt's old place on Bachelor Avenue in Linden, New Jersey, like two blocks from Elizabeth.
Bachelor Avenue. Come on down.
There is,
she just went there to find a single man. They're all married. What is this bullshit?
It's right next to Irony Street.
Anyway, so the upstairs of this house was haunted. Nothing really happened on the bottom level, but the upstairs of this place was haunted. They always complained about it, and I used to spend my summers there. And I remember the haunting was there was three bedrooms and an attic upstairs and like a loft space where we all played Atari. And in the middle bedroom was the most concentrated of the hauntings. And there was always a dude in the closet, and then in the attic area were two little kids. And sometimes you would hear, like, you know, kids or whatever. And I swear to God, you know, also, I'm five, you know, right. So I could be way off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course.
You know,
course.
But, you know, but like, you know.
I mean, I saw a goblin when I was seven.
Exactly. So. Yeah.
You never know.
So, yeah, exactly.
Hello, so. Marcus.
Kill your parents.
Wait. So,
just Marcus looking in the mirror.
Yeah. So there's this, like, I wake up and there's just, like, a dude at the end of my bed in the middle haunted bedroom.
Right.
And so we're freaking out. We don't know what's going on. You know, I run out of the room screaming. You know, I go into my cousin Christy's room and I just hug her until, like, I go to sleep.
Was she hot?
No. She's a big girl.
I mean, it really That's why he was able to go to sleep so quickly. Nothing better than getting scared and hugging
a
big girl.
The graveyard story actually reminded me of a story I haven't thought about in years of mine where I went to, and there was a graveyard that we used to drive past to my grandparents' house. And I always remember as a child, again, was like seven. I also think there's just something about how kids perceive the world and you're just open to different energies. It's just like what you are. Your brain's forming.
Exactly.
But I was every time we drove past the cemetery, I used to get so scared because in the cemetery, these balls of light would rise, like up and down, like
fireflies?
Like fireflies. Fireflies.
Were they fireflies? Did Eddie just solve this entire ghost story?
It's like we busted Ashley's by saying it's pot and coyotes in the forest.
Yeah.
But let me finish. This is actually the scariest one, in my opinion, even though I'm not directly connected to it. That's as far as my connection goes to it. But the hauntings.
This is the one at your aunt's house?
Yeah, my aunt's house in New Jersey. The hauntings were getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And my mother was up there for a while. Just, you know, staying with them for a week because my grandmother was sick. And she claims that, you know, no one disputes it, that she was pushed down the stairs. She fell down the stairs, but she claimed that she was on top of the stairs and she was staying in that same bedroom.
And that's your Aunt Patty?
That's my Aunt Patty. And my mother was the one pushed down the stairs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, your mom would... Your mom's a fun woman, but I don't think she'd lie about being pushed
downstairs.
No, and
this is also before she lost her mind. You know? Yeah. So she was still, like, she was pretty sound of mind still at this point in her life. And she came out of the middle bedroom, and she was standing at the top of the stairs. And then, what, she just falls? That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
She felt like she was pushed, and she ended up at the bottom of the stairs.
She broke her nose.
Yeah, absolutely. Fell down. That's Jesus. Luckily. She fell down a flight of stairs. She's lucky that's the only thing that happened.
But you haven't experienced anything since then, or you haven't experienced
anything
in New York?
No, I haven't felt anything in a decade at least.
But I think
the thing about this story that gets even crazier is that after that happened, my aunt, you know, was gung-ho. She's like, we're going to figure out what the fuck's going on, you know, because this has been happening for years. Mm-hmm. The kids are screaming at night. You know, these, you know, there's...
Yeah, people are getting scared all over this fucking house. Something is going on.
Yeah. So they bring in a clairvoyant person, and they bring her to the house, and she immediately just starts going off. You know, just start going crazy. She's like, it's coming from here. It's coming from the middle room. There is a man, and then they went to public records and checked all of it, and it was, like, pretty right. There was a man who worked for the mafia who was hiding money, and the fucking mob came and killed him and his two kids.
Whoa. So it's actually
shit. Yeah.
So there's a real backstory
and you
here.
Saw, yeah. And you saw kids and you saw the man.
Yeah.
Wow.
We would hear the kids. I never saw the kids.
Oh.
I would hear kids coming out of the attic. I would hear little kids, and sometimes I'd think it'd be my cousin, but then all of a sudden I'd look at my cousin be like somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but and so there was all that going on. Then they brought it up. They looked it up in records, like it happened there. And then the lady mentioned that the mafia guy was hiding money or whatever. You know, so of course my aunt tore the house apart trying to find the money.
Yeah, naturally. Trying to find all that sweet ghost
cash. There's money in here. I know it for a fact. But Penny, would you just calm down for a goddamn second? I didn't go through all this for nothing. All right? I'm owed this.
Just my aunt with the back of a hammer digging into a fucking wall.
Yeah.
But
she
then
just finds a skeleton.
But then the freakiest part of the whole thing is, you know, fast forward. I'm 17, 18, and we're at Olive Garden. It's me, my aunt, my cousin, and Noelle. And Noelle was...
And I got to the end of the all-you-can-eat possible.
I was Olive Garden.
I was spooked so bad I shit my pants.
It was Olive crazy.
Garden. But we were sitting there, and once again, this has happened again. We were in the house, and we're talking about the house. And then my cousin, we weren't even talking about the ghost. We were just talking about the house. And my little cousin, Noelle, she's like 6 at the time. She lived there until she was 3. She's like, I miss the kids I used to play with.
Oh, that's so fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah. And we're like, what? What'd you say? And she's like, the kids. I miss the kids that I used to play with at the house.
Oh, Jesus. So
kids are the worst.
Your aunt, ended up moving out of the house.
They were already moved out when she said this to us. They did move out.
Was the ghost infestation a major reason for moving? Or
No, they got money and got out of the ghetto.
Oh, okay. Good. This is also in the ghetto, very Candyman-ish.
Oh, and one more thing about the house. The reason that the room went unchecked for so many years is because the person who lived in the room would scream constantly, but it was my retarded uncle.
Really?
Yeah. Would live in the room, and he would scream all the time. And
gross!
Yeah.
He wasn't retarded.
Yeah, I know, but like that's what it, like ended up being figured out. But like they didn't check on anything for the longest time because it was like, oh, it's just...
He screams himself to sleep.
Naturally.
Yeah. And so it went so long that no one, but yeah, and we never could, rely on anything he said, but.
What were some of the random rants that he would go on?
I don't know. I wasn't around for that shit. I lived in Florida. But but yeah, no, that was the one thing I forgot about the house.
Amazing.
Oh, geez, poor guy. Poor fucking guy. Already retarded and no one believes him about the goddamn ghosts that are haunting his dreams.
The man comes in the night and he pushes me around and it's like,
we need to get more medication.
He needs to eat more eggs.
Yeah.
His room smells like death.
Yeah, more eggs.
Because it would fuck them because he's not like retarded. He's got the mentality of a 12-year-old and he can't get past that. He can't learn anymore. He's done learning. But then he slowly went blind and deaf. And so this is during the period when he's going blind and deaf, where he still can kind of hear and kind of see. But
he's just the most unreliable witness on the face of the planet.
Yeah. But he, apparently.
But he's constantly being viciously haunted.
Right.
Because it's also ghosts will haunt him harder. It's like the girls are like playing on his bed while he's laying anywhere, and the man standing there like pointing him, going like, "You did it."
Well, it makes sense.
No one will believe you.
It makes sense that if it was a ghost hiding money. Or something like that, or hiding a certain something in that bedroom.
You'd be very jealous of anybody. Like, if you were in that room.
If it was a full, like, when it was a child in that room, maybe not so much. Or a woman in that room, maybe not so much. But when it's a full-grown man in that room.
Oh, yeah.
The ghost probably felt very, very threatened. And it would, it probably went after him the hardest. So God knows what happened to him.
If that goddamn retard spends all my mom money on Legos, I'm going to be so pissed off.
It was like I was walking with my girlfriend down the street the other day, and I saw that it was like one of those things. There was this cute scarecrow like laying on thing, and I was like, if that thing was real, it'd be fucking terrifying. I was imagining like the most terrifying thing that you can see, which is like big, like, hey everybody, hey, I'm his friend, a scarecrow, hey. Just imagining being in your retarded cousin, the uncle's like room, and he like the man's like his skin's flayed open like a giant bat, and like his ribs are talking at him and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's
pretty haunted in there.
Yep. Better get him some
good
milk.
Good old Uncle Eddie.
Yeah, you were named after him, right?
No, I was named after my grandfather, who he was also named after.
Oh,
yeah. Interesting.
My child will never be born, so I won't have to worry about that.
Thank God. Thank God. That's cool. So it's weird, though. So have you spoken with your parents at all about the ghost that you saw next to the graveyard that your father ran over?
My mother does not remember it, and I don't talk to my dad.
Yeah, yeah. Good,
yeah,
good,
but,
good,
yeah,
good.
But,
I know the first story where it's like your father was in the chair and then he was gone. I was like, Eddie, are you sure this isn't just like an analogy for your relationship with your dad? And he just rocks his dad's little chair back and forth to pretend like he's in it. No, that's sad. But it is, it's probably better that it was a ghost and not an actual person. Otherwise, your father would be in prison for killing somebody in a car.
Yeah,
so yeah, good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a bright side. Yeah. Well, that's a truly... four truly terrifying
no,
stories.
Those are all really fucking scary.
Those are my ghost stories.
And you
That's
are
amazing.
So, but you are not convinced in of ghosts right now? Or?
I mean, I don't believe in anything at all, but ghosts and spirits are the one thing that I will believe in because it's the one thing that pretty much every culture and religion does believe in spirits. You know, you go
there's
to
the, something to
they,
it.
They
there's
came from somewhere. You know, these ideas come from somewhere.
Indians, like Muslims.
Everyone.
Everybody believes in fucking spirits. And so there's got to be something to that. You know, it doesn't like people get pissed. It's like, oh, you believe in ghosts, but you don't believe in God. And I was like, well, you know, it makes more sense.
Yeah, the fact that ghosts exist means there's no heaven. There's no hell. We all stay here. We're stuck on this eternal fucking earth. And it's awful.
But no, yeah, I just think because your energy goes somewhere. Yeah. Energy is create like events. It's like just the fact that like our brains are filled with electricity. It's like that goes somewhere when you die. It shoots into your environment. Like,
I always believe that energy is what actually makes someone's personality.
Yes.
Because otherwise we'd all be the fucking same, right?
I guess
we all have different personalities if we all didn't have different energy coming out of our bodies.
I guess that's what like that's got a lot to do with it. It's like, it's how it's also made. You know, it's like we're mostly fueled by grease. Yeah. Cheese and weed.
Yeah. I'm going to work at a cheesesteak place later today.
There we go. Well, that's great. Can you think of anything that was that you lost as a child that you were very, very happy the ghost returned to your dresser?
I had this one other story. I'll tell one more story. This could be, I was going to see ID4 with my buddy, and I'm jamming.
You were the most haunted man.
I am. Yeah. And I was, you know,
Ed Larson, the world's most haunted man.
And I had a book sitting on top of my my speaker, and I was listening to Filter real loud. You know, I was just jamming on Filter. You know,
as was the style at the time.
It was. Yeah.
Was that the Fool's Gold? Is like
no, not that one. No, the album of Short Bus. The album before that. Hey man, nice shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song's fucking awesome. Yeah. Still awesome.
Yes.
Anyway. And so the book fell off my speaker, and I'm like, all right, but it like fell pretty far. It was like in the middle of my room. You know, and so it felt pretty far. And so I was like, you know, that's weird. Whatever. I put it on top of my speaker. I leave the room and I come back and then the book's on top of my bed, which is clearly on the other side of the room. And so I was just like, all right, Tim. Not Tim, different Tim.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, Tim, time to go.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, I just grabbed him and I was like,
That's ridiculous.
Well, you really did have a childhood of Tims.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just jovial ghosts playing really fun practical jokes.
I just wonder what happened to the development. I wonder what the fuck it was.
Well, it was a plantation.
Holy fuck, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you had the most haunted, poor fucking
it was the land.
Development on, on a slave ground?
Yeah.
That's awful.
They are still mad.
It was
they're really upset about it.
They should be.
I think it was Strawberry Plantation.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's a little better.
Oh, like
at least
Strawberry
it's cute.
Cupcake.
Yeah. I'm sure they thought it was really cute. This is adorable.
Well, it's not you know, like guys, I'd be really mad about like being forced to do all this, but these berries are just adorable.
Love them. They cut off your tongue if you eat them, though. So just look at them.
I mean, what would you rather work on? Strawberry plantation or, like, say, potato plantation?
Oh,
potato.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
I like potatoes.
Because then you can pronounce, like, oh, come out to the strawberry plantation.
The strawberry plantation.
Well, potatoes, they're all, you know, they didn't really... Were there slaves in Idaho?
I don't know.
Did they even get that
from? I had no idea.
No, people in Idaho worked because they chose to work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Eddie. Those stories are fucking awesome, dude.
Thanks a lot.
That's the best. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah. I appreciate y'all having me.
Spooky!
Are you recording?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, I'm John Moreno from the award-winning, very popular sketch comedy group Murder Fist. Other credits include failed actor and, as I'm told, excellent waiter in a restaurant. my scary story, it's not even a scary story, it's a real story. I lived in a house. I don't believe in ghosts, first of all. I'm going to go ahead and just say I think this is a remarkable series of coincidences brought on by the stress of living in a house that was previously owned by the devil, probably. Warning signs, I'll give you a setup for the house. The house was in Tallahassee, Florida, very old house, had a moat around it, which was weird. So you had to cross a small bridge to just get to the house. And the trees, it was surrounded by trees. If you look at Tallahassee from above, it looks like one Capitol building sticking out of a forest. So the trees around that particular house were infested with bats. It was about two blocks away from a homeless shelter. And Florida homeless people are very aggressive. And the back door to the house led to this, like, 1 foot by, like, 4 foot concrete slab to nowhere. Literally, like, a 6 foot drop off to the concrete sidewalk below. And that was also enclosed by a canopy. So you could see down and look at people, but people couldn't see up and see you. Warning sign number one, when I tried to move in, my parents helped me move in, the dog, the family dog that my parents brought, would not enter the house. You could not drag the dog into the house. It flat out refused to enter the house. It was terrified. The house itself was that kind of old where you could never get it clean. It was just intrinsically dirty. I swear you could renovate the whole thing and it would still be dirty. Just at the seams. It was infested with German cockroaches, where the little ones, no matter how many times you got pest control out there, you could not get rid of the tiny German cockroaches. and then there were the nightmares that I had frequently in the house, that different parts of the house would be on fire. You'd wake up, and I had very lucid dreams at the time. I'd open the fridge, it'd be on fire. The stove would be on fire. I would wake up in the middle of the night. It didn't have any heat. North Florida houses don't have, like, heating unless they're new. And so in the wintertime, it would get extremely cold, and I would wake up on fire, just sweating bullets. One night, I had a very wonderful dream. I woke up, and I could see my room kind of in 360. I don't know if you've ever been there. I could see myself. I was inside myself, I could see myself, and everything around me was just fire and brimstone, red, and, like, imagine, like, hearing, like, and all of a sudden I'm lifted out of my bed, thrown against the wall, like, thud, smack. I hit the ground. And I'm fucking terrified. And I just, all I can do is, like, crawl back into my bed. I get back into my bed and then black. And then I wake up and it's morning. And all I can think is, holy fuck, that happened. Oh my god, that just fucking happened. So everything kind of spearheaded in this house. Oh god, there's so many different fucked up things that happened. But spearheaded one day when my roommate had a friend staying over, kind of freeloading, she was going to be there forever. But about 4 days in, she just up and leaves. And I go to my roommate and I go, well, why is she so quick to leave? I didn't even say goodbye. And he goes, well, she was really freaked out. She said last night while she was sleeping on the couch, she saw someone who looked like they had half of their body burned off in a fire walking in between our bedrooms. And that's when we started trading stories, and it turns out we'd both been having dreams where the house had been on fire. He had also been having night terrors where he'd wake up hearing screaming. We did a little research on the house, and it turns out where that house had been, century or so before, there used to be a big plantation. Tallahassee was a big plantation town. And there had been a slave quarters, approximately where our house had been, that burned down and killed all its inhabitants. So, you know, a lot of series of coincidences. Then I moved out, and about 6 months later, I had a friend who was still in Tallahassee, or was passing through Tallahassee, who called me up and said, "Hey, I just went by that house that you used to live in. It burned down."
missed you.
Yeah. I should have stayed there longer. What would happen?
You'd be dead.
I'd probably be dead, yeah. Yeah, and the house would just attract the most creepy people. Like, one time I was just walking up to my house, and I hear from behind me, "Hey, you gotta help me!" And I turn around, and there's this woman who's just bleeding profusely from her wrists and holding a butcher knife walking towards me. And I'm like, uh-oh, nope, nope, nope. So I turn around and start walking away. My roommate literally just starts running, runs inside the house ahead of me and locks the door to leave me with the crazy woman with the butcher knife and the bleeding wrists. She's like, "You gotta fucking help me. My husband, he tried to murder me. He threw me out the window." And I'm like, "No, this is not. Butcher knife, slashed wrist. No, no, there's no husband. The husband's in your mind." So I tell her, "Okay, I'll help you, but you gotta drop the knife," while my roommate's calling 911. And then she just is like, "Okay," drops a knife and gets all casual. It's like, "Hey, can I bum a cigarette?" And just starts telling me her life story while she's like, I'm like, "Lady, you got to keep applying pressure to wrists." I'd given her some cloths to hold her wrists. Another one of my favorites was, I'm, you know, sitting in my house playing Tekken 3, probably stone, trying to ignore the German cockroaches, when I hear a rapid knocking at my back door, which is the door that leads to nowhere. That's the death door with the concrete slab to nowhereville. So that's startling, and I just hear, "Hey, it's your Dave, or your neighbor Dave, let me in, let me in." I let him in, and Dave's my neighbor, who's also a grad science teacher at FSU at the time. And I'm like, "Dude, what's up? Why are you at my back door?" And he goes, "Oh, man, it's crazy. I was walking here, and some guy just started walking next to me going..." And he grabs me around the shoulder, and he's just starts going, "Hey, man, I'm your friend, right? I'm your friend, man. I ain't going to hurt you. I'm not going to stab you, man. Because we're friends, right? Because I would never do that. I would never stab you." And so I just broke away from him, and I ran here. And I was like, "Oh, you came to my house. Great. That's wonderful."
I was just about to ask you about that story. It's like, "I'm a friend, man. I ain't going to stab you. We're friends, right?"
Now, Henry does that all the time to me. "Hey, man, what's up, man? What are you doing? We're friends, right?
We're friends, man. Yeah, I'm going to fucking kill you, man. I ain't going to fucking flip out and kill you, bro.
I'm going to cut your throat in your sleep, man."
Well, that's great. It seems like the house really attracted some interesting characters.
Especially since, John, you live there.
Yeah.
You're one of the characters.
Uh-huh. Now, my first question is, were you doing a lot of acid at the time?
No, surprisingly not. I wish. This was before I could find acid or mushrooms in Tallahassee.
That was actually really true. There was not a lot of acid in Tallahassee. Acid was very rare in Tallahassee.
You'd get mushrooms, but you'd have to really get in that community of like people who went and literally picked the mushrooms out in Quincy, Florida.
Yeah.
Out in the Caypatties.
Tallahassee was more of a licking frogs, huffing gasoline kind of town.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I know it well.
And that house, too, was also very horrible. It was a horrible house. And because Yoni, right? What's his name?
Yoham.
Yoham. Yoni's my friend. Yeah, he was a strange guy.
Yeah, he just dipped one day. Like, I just woke up and he was like, a sign going like, "Sorry, dude, couldn't do it anymore, peace."
I want to go back to this. Yeah.
That's a Tallahassee roommate thing.
Yeah. Well, the German cockroaches and overall haunting infestation of a home tends to drive people out. But
yeah, no heat, no AC. It was just.
It sounds
old
awful.
Old slave quarters.
So did you notice any physical bruises on you when you woke up the morning after you were accosted by this demon ghost or a very upset slave ghost?
No bruises, which is why I say again, like, you know, I've always been known to have weird nightmares. And it was
You've had horrible, vivid nightmares. Yeah.
So I think, you know, I'm going to go ahead and equate it to the stress of the house and being like a freshman in college also.
Right.
So.
That energy carries, though. I really think that, like, especially when true traumas happen, especially in the South. The South is very hard. haunted by all the negative things that have happened there.
If I were to give any heyday to ghosts, I would say that there
any
is
what to ghosts?
Any tip of the hat? Any nod?
A habitat.
A habitat. Hey, Mr.
Ghost. Habitat.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Tina. Hey, ghost. Hey, how are you?
I would say,
I love you, John.
Oh, they're back. They're back. I would say, you know, you give the energy to make them possibly potent or dangerous or, you know.
That's not dangerous. They're just trying to say, they're just desperate for attention.
They're desperate for any sort of energy.
Well, they're sad and lonely.
They're dead.
Yeah.
And when you spoke with your roommate about some of his more nightmarish evenings, did he have any tales that stick out in your mind that was surprisingly similar?
No, yeah, exactly. Like parts of the kitchen being on fire that you just couldn't put out, the house itself being on fire, waking up sweating, also waking up hearing screaming, like, you know, the exact same fucking dreams, essentially.
I wonder if people died in the fire of the house in modern times. I wonder if it killed a family.
Well,
or something.
I know that it ended up being – the place could not be rented. Like I was the last – I think I was the last idiot that rented it. I think a frat that was nearby.
Oh, yeah. They bought it. They were going to expand over there.
So
yeah.
It was but the, it then was the they screams ended up, of girls being raped.
Yeah. They ended up using it as a squatting place. Like and
that's the one thing is that there was just a lot of junkies.
Yeah, no, like they when they finally cleared it out, there were like jars of piss and shit in there.
Yeah.
That's fine. For some reason, when you said it was full of German cockroaches, I just pictured little chocolate bars with legs.
That's just, I mean, that's
speaking
how
German,
you treat them.
Just speaking really in German accents, oh, what's such delicious chocolates? Why don't you call
me? That seems like a selling point to me. I don't know why you're upset about that.
I know, I can't
believe it's a gooey center. Would you like some nougat? Would you like some caramel?
We are blessed by the devil.
That's really exciting. So when you first moved into the house, did you feel like there was any energy in there while you were signing the lease? Did you sign it in blood or was the realtor like, okay, sign the papers. I got to get out of here. I have another house to go sell real quick that isn't haunted.
I don't even think I ever met the actual landlord. All I remember is there were these two dudes who were constantly kind of doing work on and around the house but actually getting nothing accomplished.
Right.
These two, like, Tallahassee, like old boy, like, half hippie, half redneck kind of guys, like,
yeah,
that looked like Vietnam vets. I don't even remember their names. They were the only contact I really had.
My name's Turk, and this is Dirk, and we do shoveling work. And just about there, just, like, sticking a shovel in the dirt over and over again.
Making sure that moat is nice and still there. Yeah.
Nope, no power line there. Nope, no power line there.
Still a moat. Hey there, house.
Found a power line.
Thousands of ghosts in that there house. Well, be seeing you, white boy. See you, little Johnny. Come on, give us a kiss. Give Turk a kiss. So, give us Turk.
I think you just want to kiss him. You just want to kiss John.
Well, he's got delicate lady's lips.
Do you try and kiss all of your guests?
No.
He does try to kiss quite a few of them.
Hey, you know. I know. I mean,
he's no Thomas Dale. But.
Immediately.
Yeah, that's different. Thomas Dale's got he's a rapist. That's for you, Thomas
that's
Dale.
How you
I
would
love
classify
you.
Him.
But yeah, I just sniff the seats.
Yeah, he is a bit of a seat sniffer. That's like what we're working on.
Give it on, give it up. Where's the truffles at? Where's the truffles at?
That's right. He's a real human pierogi.
I'm going to leave quite a few truffles for you.
But given this past experience that you have with a haunted house, you still don't fully believe in ghosts?
Nah.
Is that right. You just
stupid.
Don't want to.
I hope a ghost kills you.
I want to not believe in ghosts because I'm already a paranoid enough person as it is. If I believe in ghosts, I'd be constantly terrified and I would bring them into existence to haunt me until I eventually started killing others.
But what if it's half and half? I think it's half and half. I think like we're talking about with Ed and our friend Natalie. It's like there are people that are immediately sensitive to receiving hauntings and they it's a willful choice.
I used to see ghosts as a kid too.
Do you have a story that you want to talk about?
Well,
I always hated when kids see ghosts.
Yeah,
that's the worst. Like, mama, there's a man in a top hat in the closet. Shut up, Jeremy.
Yeah, no, my mother loves to tell the story of how after my grandfather died, I was staring out the window, and my mother was like, "What are you staring at, honey?" And I go, "Grandpa, why is Grandpa up in the tree?" And he, on his deathbed, like all he like kept saying, it was like maybe it was a weird like he was losing his mind thing, but he's like, "I just wish I was outside in the trees. I just wish I was outside in the trees."
There he was.
And I was like, two, so putting those two together, I don't know. When I was like six or seven, I had two
you
characters.
Used to, no, but your parents just had just hung his body up, just hung him from the tree.
There was no funeral for Grandpa. Well, he wanted him to
get
be up in the trees.
Picked apart by the birds.
Gave him a sky burial.
Yeah, that's a nice sky burial.
Sky burial.
Like, have you ever seen Sky Burial?
No.
Look it up online.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Late at night.
What's the newest horror film that just came out with a little girl? Like
Sinister?
Sinister. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, it was not very good.
Yeah, it's really sad. Holden pointed out that in our top 666 of horror movies, we were like, at this point, we've already seen Sinister and we loved it. But guess what? Sinister blew.
It kind of sucked a large donkey dick. But what can you do?
Did you come around?
No, I haven't. I don't hate the movie. It just wasn't what I wanted it to be.
I thought the whole Jewish priest thing was a weird angle to come from.
No, you're talking about The Possession.
Oh, yeah. The Possession. Okay.
Which also is a Jewish horror film. That was also supposed to be bad. Yeah. But I didn't see that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Yeah. Right. We saw the goy Sinister.
But anyway, you were saying?
Oh, yeah. Then later on, I had two ghosts I would see constantly. And one of them I called
his name was the Herky Jerky Man.
Lion-O. It was just this big dude with a lion's head. And the other one was...
That's just straight from Thundercats.
I know. Yeah. And the other one I called the Tooth Fairy because she looked like a princess. She was... One would be in the bathroom and one would be in the closet.
I hate that.
But I also used to sleepwalk as a kid. So, like, my brother would wake up.
What a creepy, horrible, haunted child you were. Just walking around like, Mama, Mama.
Where's the Tooth Fairy?
Miss Tooth Fairies, tell me I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Yeah, but, like, I would, like, wake up in the middle of the night and I would just see the Lion Man in the bathroom just with his mouth open going.
Well, that's terrible. That's going to really fuck with your potty training.
That's just bad.
Well,
for
it turns
you.
Out it coincided with my brother would like snore once a night, and I would wake up just in time to hear him snore and see the lion guy, and then just be terrified for the rest of the evening with my like sheet above my head, like trying to wake up my brother, going, "Mike."
I remember one time I had almost died of pneumonia when I was a kid, when I was like 6 or 7, and I was sitting. And I remember the times like I was sitting and I was like 104 temperature, like laying in bed at night, and my mom had finally left me alone in the room, and I'm sitting there like sweating and staring at the wall, and I had this like nightlight. And the nightlight was going, and I saw imaginary children dancing in the shadows.
That's kind of fun.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
They were beckoning me to come with them to the shadows.
To the shadow lands.
But I didn't go.
To the shadow lands.
If only I did, though.
You wouldn't be here now.
No, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
So
I guess.
It would be a different podcast.
The Tooth Fairy would be in the closet, and I would sleep with the light on, too, because I was terrified of the dark. And, you know, in dreams, you can't adjust light level. So
okay.
I would walk over to the closet, and I would open it and close it. And I'd open it, and she'd just be standing in there, just kind of like smiling. And I'd close it, and I'd flick the light on and off, and my brother would wake up in the middle of the night. And, of course, just see a kid, 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid, just standing there turning a light on and off.
Well, you were probably sleepwalking.
I was sleepwalking.
And that was his haunted story.
But yeah, that was
my
his,
brother used
that was
to
his
just,
horror
like,
story.
Really
yeah.
creep me out.
And this is the story of the world's creepiest younger brother.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you see the Tooth Fairy in the closet?
Go to bed, John.
Just
go to bed. Go to bed. You're a fucking idiot.
You're creeping me out right now, John.
Well, that's really, really interesting stuff, John.
That's really great,
John. I'm happy you got out of that house before it burnt to the ground.
Yeah.
Sort of am.
You are.
You're happy, John.
It would have completed the story.
It's already taken the part of my soul that it wanted to.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well,
speaking of crazy dreams, I had a dream where I had made sweet love to Emily Heller last night.
You gotta let this out slowly. You know?
Was that a dream or was that a
something
you were thinking about?
Listen to Baby Geniuses on the Page Comedy Radio.
That was really interesting. No, we weren't making love. I was on a date with her though.
I thought you said you made love to her.
No, it was an exaggeration. we just went on a date.
Secret wish.
Yes. So, yes, Emily, I am available.
I'll be sure to tell her when I record with her on Saturday.
Please don't.
She's going to listen to this, right?
No.
No.
Come on. Listen to it, Emily Heller.
Emily.
Listen to the podcast. Come on.
It doesn't matter. All right. Well, thank you, John.
Thank you,
Johnny Moringa.
That was a really scary story.
Yeah. That was very fucked up and horrible. You've led a scary life.
Can I ask you one last thing?
Of course.
What? Have either of you ever had a dream where you were a hermaphrodite without skin sucking your own cock?
You know what? I have not.
No.
Have you, by any chance?
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, John Moringa. Thank you, buddy. That was amazing.
Thanks, Ed.
Hello, I'm Justin Tyler. You guys probably know me as the star of a lot of failed hidden camera reality series pilots, which if you're into like old VHS tapes, you know about them. So I have a scary story for you. When I was 10 years old, I have a younger brother who's 8 and a younger sister who at the time was like 4. And my other cousin, Michael, it's a girl named Michael, scary already, she was babysitting us. And so it was also a lunar eclipse. So we were sitting on the lawn. I grew up in the country. We were sitting on the lawn. We were watching lunar eclipse. And she's like, have you guys ever heard the legend of Obadiah O'Reilly? And we were like, oh, no, that sounds cool. And she was like, well, there's a castle, actually, in the woods not too far from here, an old castle. And Obadiah O'Reilly lives there, and he was into astronomy. So he had a telescope in the top of his tower. And one night on a lunar eclipse, just like tonight, he was looking through his telescope, and he saw the moon, and it changed color during the eclipse. And then it opened like an eye, like an eyelid opening, and an eye stared at Obadiah O'Reilly. We were like, whoa, that's unsettling, at the very least. And so it drove him insane. And he was like a sort of a regular guy for a guy that lives in a castle in the woods. And so he waited. He built a rocket ship all over the next couple years until the next lunar eclipse. Built a great rocket ship. Spent all his money. Grew a weird long beard. His clothes turned to rags. He gave up on everything to build this rocket ship. Built the rocket ship. Then the next lunar eclipse was happening. He got in the rocket ship, and he blasted off just as the moon was changing color. And got up close to the moon, and then the moon opened like an eye, and then another eye opened next to it, and then a nose, and then a mouth, and he flew in and vanished. Now, that's not a scary story, per se. That's, like, a weird story. Okay. We were fucking terrified. We were like, what? Because it was, and we were young, but, like, the fact that the moon was right there, we were like, if it's happening here, it's probably happening. It's super fucked up. So we're terrified, and she's like, she scared the shit out of us, so huge success. So we went back in the camp, in the house, and we're hanging out. And all of a sudden, off, like, an hour goes by, and off down at the end of the driveway, we see this, like, white blur. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay. That's unsettling. And we're like, Michael, there's this blur out there. And we're like, oh. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's probably just a dog. I'm like, yeah, great excuse. So we're hanging out, and then we hear little tip-taps on the window. Like, little, like, tink, tink, tink. And we're like, what is that? Is it raining? No. And then it's like little rocks. We see one of them. We're like, oh, fuck. His house is made of rocks because it's a castle. He has a lot of rock. Obadiah O'Reilly has a lot of rock access. And so we're like, fuck. And then she starts to panic. And she was like a wild teenager. She partied a lot, was like painted as a young child, which is like, why are you? You're not an artist yet. You're like just a weird kid. And so she immediately panics, and in our closet, we had a gun, like a rifle. So she's like, Justin, 10-year-old Justin, you have the rifle. If they come in, like, take the shot. And I was like, take the shot? So she gives and she gets pulls out like a big fucking horror knife, an actual kitchen knife, and gives it to my younger brother, who's 8. It's like, John, here. And then we were like, what about Kate? And I'm like, she can't. Kate's my younger sister. She can't wield anything, so she's not important. Then Michael took like a baseball bat. And so we're like crowded in the corner, and this is as real as shit got, especially at that age. It was like, we're either gonna die or be murdered, or you're gonna die or murder. So then we see the white blur gets closer, and we can't. It's like running fast, but it's really dark out, so we can't really see. And then all of a sudden, we see something run by the window, the closer window, and the rocks are coming at the same time. We're like, it's over. It's too much going on at once. All of a sudden, the door opens, and in walks this guy, and Michael freaks out. I pointed a gun at a man at the age of 10, and I'll tell you what, I pulled that trigger. It wasn't loaded, but I pulled a trigger. If it was loaded, I would have killed a person based on a fucking moon story. My younger brother starts running at the dude with the knife up, and that's when my other cousin Jackie, starts laughing behind the guy. It was her and her boyfriend, who we didn't know. And John doesn't know. He's like running at the guy with a knife, ready to also kill as an 8-year-old. And all of a sudden, Michael's like, no, stop. We have to physically stop him. Otherwise, he would have shed this kid's blood that age. They all thought it was funny. And we were like, that's when I officially like lost hope.
See, that's great.
It sounds like a modern-day retelling of The Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, well, it was.
Where you look deep into the pit of the madness that lies within you.
And we weren't allowed to watch G.I. Joe as kids, so, like, I didn't know, like, about a lot of stuff. So this really, you truly was, like, I was, like, I was in country. I was, like, yeah, I had to run through the jungle.
That's fun. I couldn't stop thinking about Obadiah O'Reilly just basically living Henry Zebrowski's dream life.
Yeah.
Just growing a large beard, covered in rags, going towards the moon.
Yeah,
living like Will Smith or
Will Smith.
No, at the end of Independence Day, not Will Smith, the other character who goes up there,
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Motherfuckers.
No, often okay. confused actors. Yes. Will Smith and Randy
Will
Quaid.
Will Smith, Randy Quaid.
Oh yes, was it Cousin Randy?
Yeah.
Not from National Lampoon.
National Lampoon.
Anyway,
Obadiah O'Reilly though is like endures in my brain as a very real,
like a thing that like always like pops up. Do you have any sort of like bad dreams about Obadiah O'Reilly?
You occasionally, especially like if I'm in the woods, like I often like see his face. Because we grew up in the country, yeah. So we're back up there a lot, and I'll be like walking in the woods, and I'll be like, and I can just like catch it out of the, you know, the corner of your eye, and you're like, fuck. It doesn't connect the two stories. It was the same night, but it doesn't connect really at all, except for it put us in this place where we could murder as a child.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Blood Diamond armies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just like them.
Well, it's said that the jungle is within all children.
Exactly.
Do you feel different after pulling the trigger on a man? I mean, you would have killed.
Well, especially, I was like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm protecting everyone. One other night, I had like killed a bat in the house, and so it felt like the same thing. Like, getting rid of this pest, pest who's trying to hopefully like a haunted murderer, and
I
then
could kill a grown man.
Yeah, well, I set the gun down and I was like,
"Mommy, I want to see his soul leave his eyes."
Yeah,
like I know you do.
And that's when I knew I was going to get into comedy.
Yeah, sounds
my
like
dad used to do the same thing. We used to go up and visit like George all the time. Every
I was just up there last weekend.
Yeah, I don't remember. Gorgeous. It's been since I was like a little kid, and we used to drive. And my dad used to do this thing where he's just like, you know. This is also when he was a horrible drunk. But up around these hills, you got these mental asylums out here. And sometimes these guys, they break out. They do all this stuff. And then he would shut the lights off like while we were driving. He's like, they could pop out at any time. You know, like, and we would just scream. We were just back on like
I love that.
Horrible, like mind-bending
what
horror.
What a slapdash horror story.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you kids, I'm bored of driving, so you ever think there's wolves
everywhere?
You ever think
of wolves and shit?
Yeah, fuck, watch, the lights are off. They could be like in your face. What do you think about that, huh?
It's terrifying.
I'm going to jerk off a little bit.
And the irony is, like, the real thing that you should have been scared of is the fact that your father was wasted behind the wheel.
Oh, he was driving drunk. Yeah, yes.
True horror story.
It sounds a lot like my childhood.
Childhood.
Yeah, my dad used to do that all the time. He'd be wasted, and then he'd just turn the lights off in the middle of nowhere, and there's no lights anywhere. It's just pitch dark. We're
because
just barreling
that's
through.
Only
and
when you're
laughing,
yeah, that's
laughing.
When it's funny. Because when you're sober, you know how difficult it is to drive without your lights on.
Yeah, exactly. One little bend in the road.
When you're drunk, dead. You're Everyone's like, I'm dead. Not looking at the road anyway. So what does it fucking matter if there's lights on or not?
But I could
great
never.
Point, man.
I'm still trying to search for the fear that I felt as a child. Now I'll never I don't feel that. But I remember just being like,
scary stuff.
But I feel like if you're scared that much at a young age, then as you grow older, you're like, oh, this is nowhere near as terrifying.
I know.
That's what it could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking the best at everything. Like, after you've been scared that much when you're a kid, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. If
Obadiah O'Reilly? Fucking beat his ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pull his pants down and push him down the street.
It's such a dorky story also. It's like he's into astronomy. He, like, builds a rocket ship. And we were such dorky kids. We were like, oh, fuck yeah.
That's
of course.
Good.
That could happen to me.
Of course, absolutely. No, it sounds like an African folk tale. Yeah. Like, with, like, the moon opening its eye. You know, it's like, no.
Yeah, and Anansi was with us there. The Spider King danced. And we all learned a lesson.
We all learned. You never forsake peanut butter for being mud, you know, like some weird, like I don't know what he said.
No, that's a good one, though. Well, that's why Anansi was a riddle king.
He was
a riddle king.
I had a book called Anansi. I had a Anansi book that I had stolen from the library, and I felt like I was a little child version of Anansi.
Yeah, he was.
What's Anansi?
Mischievous.
He's a mischievous spider god.
He's Loki, but for African folklore.
Yeah.
And there's also a huge African tribe that does believe in the reptilian. They believe that they came directly from the reptilian alien army.
Well, we can't even begin that conversation right now because that's going to last about 3 hours.
Yeah, we do not have time to get into the reptilian agenda at this moment.
We've got to. We already did one whole episode about the alien agenda, which has involved the reptilian, like where we came from, the draconian race.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much more.
Yeah.
Since then?
Yeah, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
I mean, more nonsense.
Focus on other areas. You seem to be like an expert in that one. Now you just have to learn about other stuff.
I can't really I can't do my taxes.
Yeah.
But I definitely can tell you about several different reptilian alien races and how they started different modern civilizations.
I just feel like a father at a PTA meeting with my son. Like, he does like his alien stories. Yes, he does.
Henry, he moved to the lizard people. He's one of the lizard people.
He's with them. Yeah. No, because that's what I keep saying. I just want to be their jester.
So, Justin, have you pointed and shot a gun at anybody else in since in your life?
Since then, I have not. I've avoided shooting guns until recently.
And now you're back into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they hurt when you shoot a gun.
Yeah.
It hurts the person who shoots.
No,
it's like when your father spanks you and you're like, this hurts me too. And it stings his hand a little bit.
It does sting. Well, like, it kicks back very far.
Yes.
You got to really get your shoulder into it. Yeah. It's all about the shoulder. If you try shooting a shotgun and you don't have your shoulder in the right place, you're going to fuck yourself up real good.
An accent just formed in your voice.
Yes.
Anytime I start talking about guns,
break your shoulder right off, mate.
Yeah. When that Texas accent comes out.
Is there any part of you that feels bad for not killing a person at 10? Because really, that would be the last time in your life that you would be able to get away with murder.
You're right. I don't know what, like, if that ever, like, the police came and they were like, what the fuck happened here? And I'd be like, oh, well, the moon.
Yeah.
The moon opened up like a great eye in the sky.
I would be in a room just like this permanently if I had killed that man.
That's possible.
Plus, he was going to take his rocket ship straight to the moon.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you explain the Obadiah O'Reilly story to the cops, they'll understand.
They'll be like, oh, yes, I forgot. We are inside a Goosebumps novel.
R.L. Stein later went on to write me.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a great. Well, it is like a shitty twist at the end. And it was her boyfriend.
The whole time.
And now he's dead.
Yeah.
Now he's a fucking lampshade. No. We caught him up and we took out his guts.
And then
now we live in his skin.
Right. And then the last line is like, and then the moon winked.
Winked.
Wink. Well, that's everyone, because the moon was right all along.
Thanks, Mr. Moon.
Yeah.
I thought that was a wonderful story, Justin. Thank you so much
for being with us on this day.
It's
because it's Halloween. We have not. This episode's coming out on Halloween, and we have not mentioned it once. So enjoy lighting your votive candle and enjoy the holy ceremonies of Samhain.
And hopefully, you set many a fire last night.
Yes,
and it burned the city to the ground.
Oh, okay. You guys celebrate Halloween in a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
we go
candy.
All out.
Some people burn down a city.
Yeah, no,
whatever.
And good night to all the lizard people out there. And Anansi.
Scree!
Scree! Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Yes, yes. Four creepy tales from last podcast on the left.
I dare you to sleep now, young viewer.
Indeed, they're going to have a very, very hard time sleeping. If you wake up in hot sweats, it's probably because there's a burnt child running across your living room right now. Go check.
Go check it.
Get out of bed. Go check.
Go check it.
Oh my God, is the oven on? But you turn it off, but it's on? Oh, no, you're actually just making a pizza. That's fine.
I forgot about that pizza.
What a wonderful four tales of absolute ghoulish horror.
Yeah. I love it.
We had a full body apparition.
Uh-huh. Which is very rare.
Yeah.
And we also had we had physical contact being made by John Moreno. He was actually abused by a ghost. I haven't heard that very often. You know, with Ed Larson, his mother got pushed down a flight of stairs. Not too much ghost power there.
But that's pretty common.
But to actually pick up a man of, I mean, John Moran is light as a feather.
Yeah,
he was fatter then.
He was fat.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He used to be fat and bloated and awful.
Really?
Well, not really fat, but he drank a lot more, and so he was
more.
Like,
he probably drank a lot more beer.
He drank more beer.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now he just drinks a bottle of gin every night in order to put himself to sleep. Yeah.
Right.
But that's different. That's medicine.
Well, you have to stop the night screams. And the only way to do that is an entire bottle of
cigarettes. Anything that kills the devil in your brain.
That's
right. That's what I do.
That's the sign that you're a true alcoholic, by the way, when you switch to beer, when you switch from beer to liquor because you don't want to be fat and you don't want the social stigma of having like the red nose and Santa Claus drunk. We're like Santa Claus drunks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're fun.
Yeah, we're fun. We're because jolly drunks.
I don't really need... booze doesn't make me a better person. Wontons make me a better person.
And your soup dumplings that you were plowing through your mouth yesterday.
Sweet soup dumplings. I burned my mouth so thoroughly yesterday.
Well, for those that don't know, with a soup dumpling, it's a very controversial food. Where is it popular in?
Shanghai. Oh, you come on down. Oh, soup dumpling. You make sure you eat it really good hot. Burn your mouth.
Very hot, yeah. So it's a dumpling, and then it's filled with soup, which I thought was a very controversial way to serve.
Much like
serve
many
up
of
the
horrible, terrible stories we've heard over this podcast.
Absolutely. Mm.
Hot soup is filled with them.
That's very correct.
I'm good with the segues. I should be a host of a show.
You are the host of a show.
Am I?
Well, we're all hosts of a show.
I just feel like I'm constantly a special guest.
You are a special
that's,
man.
That's what I, so, like, that's how I view life.
That's
everywhere
good.
I go, where like I'm just like on this very special episode, Henry's here making shenanigans.
No, yeah, I think that's fine because I always feel like I'm hosting the world. So it's very interesting. And Marcus just
it is strange
watches
how you,
and
you
makes
do
random
name my
judgments.
Credits everywhere we go.
I do.
I'm more of a yes. I am definitely a watcher type character.
Yes, making silent
like
judgments.
The Watchers. Like David Icke's The Watchers?
No, more like Marvel Comics' The Watcher, in which I have swore myself to never interfere, yet I constantly do.
Ooh, very interesting. But no, wonderful four terrors.
Tales
terroristic,
of terror.
Terroristic.
I like that. Yes.
Tales.
Yes. Al-Qaeda level terror stories.
remember the
I mean,
the
I could say
chart?
Myself, John telling that story, just as scared as the people on, like, you know, floor 97 on 9/11.
Yeah. No,
it's like
think
that scared.
We can
where you're like, okay, I can either burn to death or I can jump off the 97th floor. Mm. That type of fear. That's what I felt.
You know, and
still
I don't
feel
think,
like I'd end up fucking burning to death.
Yeah. And there is nothing offensive about what you said, you know, because I definitely equate a ghost story that may or may not be true to 9/11. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I think that's fine.
Day.
You know, that's a normal leap. That's what you do.
Fires that's all I think about from the hours of 4 and 5 p.m.
Right.
Every day.
Every action you have in life, you have to be like, so how does this equate to 9/11?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is like, I got two sandwiches. It's like the two towers.
And now they're going to be gone.
But that's why I only
them.
Eat one because I hate remembering.
That's
why. And it's helped me lose weight. It's really great.
You're on the 9/11
diet. I'm on the 9/11
diet.
Every time you want to eat two of something, just eat one.
And then cry off the cows. That's a really controversial diet, but I think it's going to sell.
I have rock solid crying abs. That's hard work.
Yeah.
It is.
Wow, man, I'm already tired.
That's why abused wives look better after the relationship's over.
Another not controversial statement. Marcus, we were talking.
I am full of it today, like a soup dumpling.
Marcus, so you were saying that you felt like the home that you grew up in was haunted.
Yeah. Now the room that the people that lived in our house before us, it was built in like the 1950s. It was great. We had a bomb shelter.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, cool. Because it was built during the Cold War, and they thought for some reason the nuclear bombs were going to drop 7 miles east of Rochester, Texas.
Hey, you know.
Yeah, population fucking 300.
The goddamn commies are taking out the desert.
Yeah.
And they want our sand.
And the people that lived there before us were named the Winchesters.
Ooh,
yeah. And Old Man Winchester, I found out later on, which, yeah, that's what we always call him, is Old Man Winchester.
Of course.
I found out, like, years and years
God
later.
God damn it, kids, I'm 33.
The room that I lived at, that I grew up in until I was about like 14, I moved to a different room after my brothers went back to college. But the room that I was in during my formative years, that was the room that Old Man Winchester died in.
Cool.
And when I was a kid, I had nightmares all the time. Anymore, I don't have any because I smoke enough weed to fucking get the shit out of there. But when I was a kid, I had constant nightmares. I would sleepwalk all the time. And when I was in the house, and my friends would say the same thing, constantly seeing shit out of the corner of your eye. Like,
you see,
all
I
the
get
time.
That from when I smoke too much weed.
Yeah, but I was a kid and not... Yeah, yeah, which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
And my brothers would fuck with me. They would find, like, weird rocks and tell me that, like, they were like, this is the bones of Old Man Winchester.
No, like, stop it, stop
they,
it.
Yeah. Like, they buried him here on this land.
No, it's not
like,
true.
Where
no.
did they bury
him. I'm not telling.
No, come on.
In the bed.
So, yeah, I was like just always terrified when I was a kid about just shit like that.
I love it. I like the kid hauntings. I mean, Ed had some great kid haunting stories. The thing about John's that I really enjoyed was that he was, you know, a freshman in college, immature. Sure, all freshmen in college are retarded.
Covered
people.
With a thick layer of dough, booze dough.
You're right. But nonetheless, I feel like that makes it really
No,
kind of
it's very it's pretty amazing. And
another slave quarter, of course,
it's the South.
Ashley Brooke Roberts with her
The South is
incredibly haunted.
It is covered in slave ghosts.
Yeah.
As it should
Makes
be.
Sense.
Can't swing a ghost without hitting a slave ghost.
Yeah, and we made it. We did it. Our great grandfathers did it. Yeah.
Not mine.
I mean, not mine. Mine were in Staten Island.
No, so you're just followed by Jew ghosts.
No, but they're all in Germany. They're all in Poland and Germany.
Yeah, you don't have to deal
Russia.
With any of the ghosts that your family
I'm
made.
So far away. Until they figure out how to take a ghost boat over to America, I'm doing great.
See, I got
to
deal with all kinds of ghosts. I got slave ghosts. I got a lot of Native American ghosts.
But Native Mexican ghosts?
But Native Americans want to be ghosts.
Yeah,
that's like
that
their thing.
True.
They love being ghosts because then they can go like, oh, now I get to convene with the ghost, the spirit.
So, Henry, if you had three options, you got an old man ghost, a Native American ghost, or a slave ghost, you have to be haunted by one.
Native American ghost.
You're going with Native American.
Because you could probably learn something from a Native American ghost.
I agree.
And really, from all the Native American ghost hauntings that I've heard of, they mostly just stand there.
Oh, yeah. And they just go like,
hello.
Hey.
Well, hello.
Do you have any fry bread?
That's amazing. Is that a wee? Have you channeled the power of the fire demon? Is that how you power your wee?
Yeah.
Oh, look, he's playing a form of tennis. We invented tennis, but we used to do it with a dog's head and a stick.
Well, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, but that's what they said. That was what soccer was.
Yeah, dog's
soccer
head.
It was the Aztecs.
Yeah.
The Aztecs.
It was a human
the older,
head.
Older Indians.
Mm-hmm. Was it a human head that they would use?
Yeah, after the sacrifices.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really amazing.
Hey, guys, I've got a great idea. How about we kick it into a hole?
We have many heads around that are very plentiful, yet we were doing nothing but throwing them in the river.
I love old
what
sports.
What say we take this head and we shall make a beautiful game of it?
They all started off so brutal.
Storm feather. Let's wear these neon shirts and we can cover them with different sports logos and start kicking the heads into
I am Chief Running Red Bull. We got a sponsor. This is great. I love it. The original game of basketball was a game to the death.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, the game of basketball was only played by like white people that look like us.
Yeah.
It was invented by a college professor to just keep white people from subjugating races.
Yeah, it would be James Naismith. And interestingly enough, the first basket was a peach basket. Hence why they called it basketball.
What the fuck?
Thank you, Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Oh, my God. You're the only person to read that thing. I was reading Slam, the much cooler magazine.
I was reading psychology textbooks that my sister had.
Uh-huh. Mm.
That's what I used to do as a child.
All right.
I used to scare my mom.
So sad.
I used to come up to my mom and like she would say, I was talking about this with her recently, but I would come up to her and be like, Mom, how do I know if I have multiple personalities? And she's like, just stop with the textbooks. She had to hide all the textbooks because I would sneak up into the attic where my sister lived and she had a big thing of...
We've got to stop him from learning.
We've got to stop. He keeps asking these questions because that's also how I learned about masturbating is that my sister had a gigantic Encyclopedia Britannica set.
Your
and I had heard
it.
About masturbating and I went to the Encyclopedia Britannica and went to masturbating and saw it and it was like, you know, self-stimulation. I was like... Stimulation of what? And then I was like, I remember at one point, like sitting in my room, just being like hard penis, you know, it's just like, it says that you need to self-stimulate it. And then I just started rubbing it on the mattress and it's like, Eureka. Another discovery made.
Not a natural when it comes to jacking up.
I was a very weird little child.
I love it. Did you have a monocle?
What?
Were you born with a monocle and a top hat and a nice coat?
Mummy, how do I know if I have multiple personalities? You'll know, Henry Thomas. Just leave me alone. Your father is an alcoholic.
Like a real-life Stewie from Family Guy. That's great. Anything else? I feel like we wrapped it up.
I love this. This is like so this fun. Is a great episode. We're going to do another one of these.
Yeah, we
have a bunch of people who have more stories, and if you have story that's another thing too.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you have stories that you want us to read over the air, because it's hard to get all of you in this office here, because it's hard to carry about five more people in here.
Yes.
So can we just send us your stories and we'll read them over the over the airwaves,
On the pod, on the
internet,
on the computer bytes,
and we can do that as well.
Or I'm thinking if you want to make a YouTube of you telling your own story, and if it's good enough, we could put it on the show as well. Something that. If you get your voice on there,
let's leave your penises in your pants.
Yeah, we already talked about that one.
Please, 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 stop! Don't no more dick pics. I don't care if it's a jack-o'-lantern. I don't
it's a
care.
Cock-a-lantern.
And you know, it's not. I'm gonna say it's not a bad
dick. It's a fine penis.
It's a fine penis.
You could do it. And honestly, also,
but we lost a lot of subscribers because of that.
If you put it on the Facebook page, it's gonna be hard. I'm not gonna say.
Do you want to give
your
personal email address? Is that where you're going with this?
If you need to do that, then just keep it off the general page.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, put it on your own personal page. Don't get us in trouble. Don't lose us subscribers.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. And and share your haunted stories with us. We'd love to hear.
Yes, please.
Awesome.
Magoosalations.
Heil Geen.
Yeah.
Heil Geen. Hail Satan.
Ooh, that's weird. That's worse than Heil Me.
Yeah.
Heil Me.
Hail Geen. Hail Satan.
Hail Geen. Hail Satan.
That's nice. It's got a good ring to it.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Spooky.
Whoa.
Your arms held a message tender, saying I surrender all my love to you.